The following episode may contain sensitive content. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey Tracy.
Hi Nikki.
How are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Today's like my light day. Like a day that I like just train my clients and then I pretty much just basically like do all the home chores. Like laundry, cleaning, you know. All the adult stuff. Yeah. But yeah. I do put on either our podcast or two other podcasts and I just listen to it. And then I get annoyed by myself. I'm like, I sound horrible. But then I'm like, get over it, you know, moving on. And yeah, that's the only way I can like push through all the chores.
I agree.
What about you?
I always listen to podcasts. Well, we've had a little bit of a hurricane, Debbie. So I work for the county. I work at the library. So they wanted to just take precaution and they closed down all county buildings.
So
I had a 2-day vacation from work in the middle of the week. So that's why I look like garbage because I didn't get up and put on any makeup. I didn't get dressed because I didn't feel like it.
So, good for you. That's what I'm talking about.
Nice. As like people days. Are getting their house flooded, and I'm like, I didn't have to work. I know. Fort Myers got hit really hard again. So if you're there. I hope you're okay. So
I know. Everyone stay safe out there. It's hurricane season, you know. And I feel like, because this flooding issue that we're getting, like, it's not just here. It's happening everywhere in the world. Like, in the DR, it's happening a lot. And it happens, like, off season. Like, 2 years ago, people died. A year ago, like, they were more prepared because they knew. But it's like, oh, it's just rain or it's a tropical storm, which is not a big deal, quote unquote. Right. And then it just becomes chaos because of the amount of water. And I heard this is happening in Spain, in Italy, North Italy today too. So, God.
And people want to say global warming isn't a thing.
Yeah, it's so scary. It's so scary. Oh my gosh. Well, be safe out there, guys. Yes. While you listen to us, welcome to the show Must Go On.
Yeah, welcome. Hi. Again, I'm Tracy.
Oh my goodness, and I'm Nikki. Everything is good, and we're here to judge. Yeah, we're here to judge the latest movies, latest trending from streaming platforms. We're excited to have you judge with us. And yeah, welcome. Anything fun you watched over the past week, Trace?
So I'm working my way through Hijack.
Tell me, how good is that show?
It's so good. I think Apple TV is one of those streaming networks. They're crushing it because they're making shows where it's keeping you engaged in the episode, and then at the end it's like cliffhanger, so you're like, fuck, now I have to watch the next episode, because like I was up really late the other night watching it and I was like, but I have to go to bed, but one more.
the internal conversation right there. It's like, oh, you need to sleep. You need to, what a great fucking show. It's good. And everyone was so good in it. Idris Elba, what a great actor. I feel like he's super handsome. He's such an amazing actor. And I still think he's underrated.
I think so, too. Yeah, I don't know if it's like he's really picky about the parts that he chooses or if he doesn't get asked to do things as much, because I feel like he needs to be in more.
Yeah, I think and he's so, just too. Not. I want to see more of him. More. Yeah. But yeah, that's a great freaking show. Maybe we should like review it one day, because I kind of want to rewatch it now that you're watching it. I started watching it over this weekend, and I finished it yesterday, and it was this, it's like a limited series or like a docuseries about the cheerleading team of the Dallas Cowboys. Oh my god, I was crying my eyes out in the last episode. You know, it just took me back to our audition times and, you know, the amount of work that has to be put in. And like, even when you become a cheerleader, it's like the Rockettes, like you have to audition every year. You're not in and like 4 years. And usually they only have like 5 years active and then they're done. And it was so beautiful to see all of them say the same thing, like, that they leave, that they retire, and then they feel like those years were the peak of their life, because they love their job, they love their co-workers, which are the girls, you know. It's like they apparently the community is so loving, you know. And it just broke my heart to see that, you know, a lot of them are like, I need to do something that's gonna feel like that. That's gonna feel that good. And I can't find anything right now that feels like that, you know, that they feel like that was the best time in their lives and that they're not gonna get that again. And, you know, the technicalities of not getting into the team, like, oh, you look too short, or, you know.
You have to be like a certain like body weight, and like they're picky like about the how they
measuring,
look.
Yeah, and it's like they audition and then it's like callback after callback, but like you get into the training camp and you're there for basically a month and you still don't know if you're in it. And then like they put the boots on you, they create your outfit, because they make the decision of cutting a couple of people the day before. The day before the first game.
That's insane that the competition is just...
And they were talking, you know, there were like choreographies like the Thunder, like that's like their goat, like that's the choreography that everybody knows about them. And, you know, some of them are like, I've been watching this since I was little and now I get to do it. But then they're in the field and it's like every 4 steps it has to be like 5 yards. Like, it's insane. Like, once they're there, because, you know, through the screen, we're all like, oh, that looks easy, you know? No. They're fucking traveling through that field, the girls. And then, you know, I was like, because Trey watched the first episode with me. Then I finished it last night. And I don't think they get paid well, because I went to a game, I'm going to say, like, this year or last year. I don't know. I don't really watch football. And they were the entertainment for me.
They're such an integral part of the Dallas Cowboys. Like, I feel like a lot of the fans are fans because of the dancers. Like, name another team that's known for their cheerleaders. Like, they are the face of the NFL cheerleaders, like, in my opinion. Everybody knows the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders.
It's insane. And the way, you know, they're getting feedback and they're getting criticized, and the only answer all of them have is yes, ma'am. There's no like, but I, there's no, I can, no, yes, ma'am. Your toe looks so weird, yes, ma'am.
I'm, I'd be like, fuck
Yeah, your foot was doing something weird. Yes, ma'am. Your leg didn't go as high. Yes, ma'am. You're doing something weird with your face. What's going on? Yes, ma'am. Like that. I was like, the respect.
Yeah.
You know? To, you know, there's the authority of, you know, because they have a name because of that, because they work their ass off to be that team, you know, of cheerleaders. Yeah. They're so talented. God, that last episode, like, I was crying because some people get caught out and I'm like, and like, you can tell by like the, not the casting agency, but like the directors and all that stuff, is like, we don't want to let you go. It's not about your talent.
Yeah.
It's not that. It goes beyond. It's like, oh, like, these girls have the dance style of cheerleader and you don't, or not yet. Mm-hmm. You know, come back next year. And it's like, but
that's gonna be hard. Like, so also hard. I mean, obviously for the women who are auditioning, but also as like the choreographers and the coaches to pick that team, because you do realize every year. These women are working so hard. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they're all talented, you know. Yeah. So mm-hmm. having to pick them and even have it be like, oh, she's just a little bit too short, like,
yeah,
that's gotta be hard.
Yeah, she would, like, one of them was like, this is the worst part of our job, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's like, and then I think they were talking to the director of like the team that, like, the Dallas Cowboys, and she was saying like, this is the hardest conversation, and she's like, no, you have the easiest conversation. There's only 36 spots and you have 37 right now. And it's like, yeah, like it's the easiest reasoning, but I'm choosing her to, like, I'm choosing her to be not in the team.
Right. There's one person that is so close and you're about to just totally break their heart. Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. I was so invested. I watched 3 episodes last night. I finished it. But it's really eye-opening, you know? Like, I know that these cheerleaders work really, really hard. And I'm sure all the teams have different, like, audition process. But I'm sure it's as heavy as this team as well. Like, they all have to go through an audition process and, you know, and learn 50 to 80 choreographies that you're going to be doing for a whole season nonstop, you know?
Yeah.
And I got a lot of respect now for them. And it's not that I didn't before. It's more like they have more of my respect, more respect from me now after watching that. Right. Any cheerleading team.
Yeah, because you just see the emotional toll too. Because it's not just physical. Like, it's the mental and emotional toll that they go through. Because you think, oh, yeah, well, they're just there to look pretty and kick their legs high. But it's so much more than that, you know.
And a lot of them have, like, full-time jobs. Like, one of them was, a dentist. Uh-huh. They go to their full-time jobs, and then they have rehearsal 7 p.m. to, we hope we leave by 10 p.m.
Yeah. Then they're usually not.
No, exactly. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, because they don't get paid enough. They don't get paid enough.
That's insane. Which, when you think about all the money that the NFL has. And, like,
thank you.
I know, okay, the player should get paid a good amount, like, they're getting knocked around, but these women are working hard too, and they're bringing in fans.
They show some respect. The ones that entertain everyone,
right?
For real. And it's like, it's not that the money's not there, you're just right. Choosing not to give it to them, period. Exactly.
Yeah, they're just being cheap, which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's it was really eye opening. I'm glad I watched it because I kept seeing it, you know, like the sweethearts, da da da. And I was like, eh. And then I just pressed play. There was no going back. Loved it.
Nice.
And the season finale of House of Dragon, season 2.
Was it good?
It was good, but it's just...
Uh-oh.
Listen, the episode was good. Do I wish that episode would have been episode 3 so we can get what we wanted? Episode, like, a war? That would have been great. But we didn't get a war.
Oh. So it sort of left you wanting more.
It felt like a fucking trailer for season 3.
Oh.
Because season 3 apparently is all, it's only war. Only war. That's all we're going to get. And what we heard is that House of Dragons final season is season 4. So it's short. It's not however many years. By that time, we're going to be grandmothers.
I know. It takes like 2 years for them to make these seasons. And if it's going to be all war, that's like a lot of CGI and...
We're going to be in a senior citizen retirement.
You're going to be knocking people over with your walker to watch the communal TV. House of Dragons is on. Get out of my way.
I'm going to be like the Titanic lady. It's been 85 years. Yeah, so
yeah.
That's how it's going to be when season 3 comes out. Oh my god. I was like, seriously, guys? Come on. And the thing is, like, it's not that the episode was bad.
Right.
It was such a good episode. It was my favorite episode because it was like boom, 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 like back to back. And then over.
And I think because it's like, you know that there's nothing after this for however long, so you just have
years,
to wait.
Because they start filming at the end of this year.
Yeah,
I is right. But there's that new Game of Thrones show that comes out next year. It's another spinoff.
Does it have anything to do with Jon Snow?
No, they put that on the shelf.
Okay, because there were a few that they were working on, so I can't keep it straight. I don't know.
Yeah, there's so what's that one. This one is like about... it's about... It's not Flea Bottom, it's like the city folk. Like people that live in King's Landing. And there's one that they're starting production that is going to be... the conquest, basically, of the Targaryens, like the prince that was promised, the story, you know, the one that saw, the one that had the vision, Aegon, he's the one that conquered King's Landing with his dragons. That story, we've never known that fucking story. You know,
and they're
House
not
of
covering
Dragon,
it in this.
No, House of Dragon is the Targaryens. You know, this is the story of the Targaryens. This is 172 years before Daenerys is born. You know? So this is how... It's the Dance of the Dragons, you know? It's how... I want to say how the dragons disappeared. How they lost all their dragons. Gotcha. Which is really interesting, too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's really, really good and... And, you know, we saw a little bit in this final episode about Game of Thrones, like how it connects. It was so fucking exciting. And then I was like, okay, we're done. Bye.
Right.
I know.
This is why I'm not watching it. You know, because I'm going to be like, no, I have to wait. And I'm so impatient about some of those things. So I'm like.
Yeah.
I'll just wait the 10 years until the 4th season comes out, and then I'll watch it all.
I'll see you in our retirement home.
Yeah.
We'll watch it together.
Yeah. There
you
go.
Yeah. But, yeah, I have so many movies to go see at the movie theater, but Quiet Place is available to stream. You have to rent it, and I wanted to do that. but Trey's not here and I'm scared to watch it by myself.
Fair. It does look... Those movies are scary because it's so quiet. It has to be so quiet. So you're not really hearing anything.
And listen, I love quiet, but my quiet, not like...
In the movies.
Not in the movies. So this weekend, I'll probably watch it.
Okay.
Nice. It's going to be cheaper than going to the movie theater.
Yeah, I know. The movies have gotten expensive. Are
so expensive. Oh, my goodness. Did you watch anything else? Just Hijack?
Mostly that, because I've been watching the Olympics.
Oh, my God. Talking about the Olympics, before we dive into what we're discussing today. I just noticed this. Every 4 years when this shit comes up, I always end up on a social media hole of the swimming teams. You know? Not the swimming teams, but the... ¿cómo se dice? How do you say that? Well, the one that you're like swimming.
Oh, the choreography. They call it artistic swimming, but it's synchronized swimming because they have artistic to do it together. Swimming.
Yes, I always end up in the hole every 4 years. I am in that hole.
Because it's insane.
It is so insane, Tracy. It is so insane. It's I can't swim. Done.
So the fact that they're like underwater, and they show it, it's so cool. Like they show them underwater with their legs above and they're like doing, I can't even doggy paddle. How are they doing that?
Girl, you know what I was thinking? I was like, some of these groups don't have any fucking goggles. No,
they just
goggles.
Have the like nose things.
That's they it. Have the nose thing. My eyes, like I would be bumping into people under there, you know, because I can't see.
I'd be like, get out of my way! And wait, no, like, you're supposed to be next to me.
Yes, I'd be like, this is a disaster, you know. I'd be punching people in the face by accident.
I'd be kicking someone.
Oh my God! Yeah, and then the precision. Fact that they, yeah, it's so sharp their movements and like with their legs and the fact that they. Are like at a level with their legs out, like let's say 90 degrees, and then they go 45 and then 180, like all the way, and it's sharp.
Yep.
I'm like, I can, like, even when I'm swimming, like my level is not the same.
Yeah.
And when they see them upside down and you see them like just like
foot, yeah,
doing like it's this so, with yeah. their heads.
They're mermaids. Or like I think that's what it is. They're like Ariel when she gets her legs. That's all. It's really impressive, though. I don't think people pay enough attention to it. I don't think it gets the flowers that it deserves. Because everybody focuses on, like, the regular swimming competition and, like, mm-hmm. gymnastics. Which, listen, don't make it hard. Like, everything is difficult, you know?
Yeah.
The synchronized swimming, it's like a whole level.
Yeah, hats off to these girls. And I was also thinking, because, like, they have makeup on, you know, like, imagine, like, me with a mascara, like, going down.
Gotta get that waterproof, baby.
Yeah, but it's, like, not just waterproof. It has to be, like, that type of waterproof.
Yeah.
You know?
Because the chlorine just, and...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were so... Oh, my God. If you guys listen to this, like, we love you. You guys are... I'm so proud of you, and I don't fucking know you. And from every country, because I cannot do any of that. Right. I saw the one from Mexico. I was like, I didn't even know they had a team, you know?
Everyone deserves a gold medal.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Like, it's got to be hard to... How do you judge that? That's what I'm saying. Like, ugh.
I think it's like the technicalities. It's like the toes when they're pointing. Yeah. You know, if somebody was like half a second late.
I could never.
And the way they like walk in.
And they have to be so synchronized even when they're on land, like before they go in the pool.
Uh-huh.
They're like, da, 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 da.
And then they go in the pool in order. Imagine you and Joe jumping in that water.
Cannonball!
Yeah, that'd be the entrance, one by one.
It would not be dainty, I'll tell you that. Oh, biggest man. splash ever.
That'd be so fucking funny. That's hilarious.
That all the, like, the things that people are saying on social media, like, we just need to have, like, a normal person do these events so that
so we can really can
compare, like, how amazing these athletes are.
I've seen a lot of, like, memes of the gymnastics, and it's, like, gymnastics in the, I want to say, like, in the 60s or the 70s that they, like, do, like, one flip and that's it. Mm-hmm. And then they show like Simone Biles, and it's like buying a house in the 80s and buying a house in 2024. And I was true. Like, that's so accurate.
Yeah. I mean, so how much these sports, even within the Olympics, have evolved. Because mm-hmm. it's true. Like, you go back and you look at, like, in the 80s and 90s, even, like, the early aughts to now, and how much it's gotten, I feel like, more difficult.
Yeah. I mean, Simone Biles has, like, 5 moves under her name. Like, they are called, like...
Like, Biles, her name, one. Yeah.
And she was the one that took it to that level, you know? So, and only, like, 2 people can do it. Mm-hmm. Ay, Dios.
Respect.
God, I can't even have lactose.
Bad. I have some cheese and I'd be just on the floor.
I had dairy and I'm a disaster. Like, no.
Yep. Yep.
And these people are just, like, going to the Olympics. We are so proud of you. And we wish we could be just a tiny bit like you. Just a tiny bit. A little bit of that discipline. Yes. You know? Like an eighth. Like a 12th of it. Like something tiny. Just...
I'd take something. Less than that.
Yeah. It's so beautiful. So beautiful.
That's good.
But
that's
enough really about good. Us. Enough about us and our Olympics. Let's dive into what we're talking about today. So, today we're going to discuss... what's the name? A Family Affair.
What are we talking about?
A Family Affair. It's a movie that streams on... It's Netflix, right? Yes. With Nicole Kidman. It's also Zac Efron. Let me see who else... Oh, what's her name?
The Joey King.
Yes, Joey King. Which forever will be... Like, her job as Gypsy was so well done. That is still in my head. Like, yeah. She did such an amazing job with that role. Mm-hmm. That, wow.
Because her voice is actually pretty low.
Yep.
And Gypsy talk like this. So.
She did so well.
That alone.
Yep. Okay. So, we are excited to talk about this movie. Just to give you, like, a little synopsis of it. I don't have a synopsis of it, but basically it's, you know, the Zac Efron plays this
it's like actor an action that wants action to, star.
Yeah, that pretty much he wants to be taking
more seriously.
More serious. Yeah, and Joey King plays his assistant. And
she wants to be a producer.
She wants, you know, she wants to grow in the industry. She works for him for many years and really nothing happens. But then he meets her mom and kind of like a little, you know, romance happens there. I don't want to, like, give it all away, but a little romantic situation.
We will give it away, don't worry.
We will. But not in the synopsis, you know. Yeah. Just a little shaking it, you know.
A little taste
of it. And I gotta say, listen, this Netflix sometimes brings up these movies and I'm like, I know. Like, I am mentally prepared about the movie being, like, horrible, you know? And I gotta say, I was like pleasantly surprised. I was like, you know what? It's not that bad. You know, I was ready to be, because I don't know what I watched recently that I was like, oh my God, no. Oh, we watched something recently that I was like, this is so bad. It wasn't Roadhouse, it was something else. But I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was going to be worse, you know? Maybe my standard was really low.
Well, I mean, maybe because you had just watched something that was, like, terrible.
Yeah, yeah. I also got to say that I love these three actors. I think Nicole Kidman, Zac Efron, and Joey Kane are amazing actors. So, you know, maybe I went in with really kinder eyes.
Because it is a good cast. And I love Kathy Bates, too, who's...
Yes, yes.
Who's Joey King's grandmother and Nicole Kidman's mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Love her. Like, any time when Kathy Bates was on screen, I was like, yes, let's go. Because she's just so funny, and it was, like, nice, lighthearted moments. But it was, like, words of wisdom, because, you know, she's a little bit older.
Yeah.
So I always enjoyed those scenes. Those were my favorite, I think.
But I see you made a face, Trace. What's your opinion? Let's give it to me right away.
I went in with an open mind, right?
Okay.
I was like, let's see where this is going. I hated it. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Okay.
I hated it, and we'll get into it. I'll tell you why, but
okay,
I did not like it at all.
Okay. I'm telling you, you know, I went with my standards real low. I was like, you know,
it's a Netflix movie. I wasn't expecting much, and it didn't deliver. Like, so.
By the way, I feel so lost about it because we did watch this movie a few weeks ago, and I'm like, wait, like, now that you're saying this, I don't even remember how it ended. So,
and it was one of those things where it was like, because as you mentioned, we did watch this a few weeks ago, and I was like, should I rewatch it? And I was like, I don't want to put myself through that again.
Yeah,
like, once was enough. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, I watched it once, and even that was difficult. And normally with rom-coms, it's like, even the ones that aren't that good, like, you still want to watch again.
Yeah.
At least that's how I feel, you know, because it's supposed to be funny and it's a love story. So, and those are both great things that we want, you know, in this world of chaos. And I just feel like on both levels, it did not deliver. I didn't think it was funny, and I wasn't happy that they ended up together.
Also, I was going to say... Oh, they do end up together. Okay. I was going to say that their age gap made me so uncomfortable. You know? Because it's not like... It's not... You know, age is just a number, blah, blah, blah. But Nicole Kidman is such like a powerhouse. Anything she does, you know, in general, like, she's so elegant and tall, and I don't know, like she enters, I'm sure she enters the room and everyone turns around. Zac Efron is hot, but he's, you know, a hot young guy, you know. I don't know, that, you know, that casting made me like a little, like, that coupling made me uncomfortable. I don't know why.
No, I agree. And I think also just within their characters, like you said, she's a successful writer, right?
So, and even if she was like a homeless person, she's one of those people that I'm like in awe of. It's like, she's so beautiful, and she like, she's so elegant.
Yes.
You know, like, when she talks and, like, all this, even when she's, like, sitting on a couch looking like shit, I could never look like that, you know?
Yeah, so, like, poised and just, like, she has her shit together and very mature. And then his character, I feel like he's such a fuck-up. Yes, like he's a fuck up. Like he wants to be taken seriously in his career, but it's like I don't feel like he was intelligent enough. No. Like I thought he was kind of an idiot. Mm-hmm. He didn't even know who Icarus was. She had to explain it to him. Oh, in Greek mythology, do you know who Icarus is? And he's like, oh, I don't know. Like, I'm sorry. I feel like most people know who Icarus is. He flew too close to the sun with his wax wings, etc. So the fact that he didn't know even, like, because that's his, like, action character is, like, Icarus, whatever. Like, didn't know anything. So it's like, you aren't on the same level to even talk to this woman. She's so intelligent, has her shit together, and who are you? Like, just because you're an action star, like, big-time Hollywood, the paparazzi are all taking pictures of you. I didn't care.
So, if, you know what, I'm going to say this. If, because that means he did a good job playing his role. Like, you know, because he did play it, like, super fucking stupid, you know? I was like, yeah. But then if you're a writer and a director or whatever, I don't know what this is based on. You need to make this character with other characteristics and more likable for us to actually fall in love with him and Nicole Kidman, you know, like these two characters. Their names were Chris and Brooke. For us to fall in love with Chris and Brooke. But I wasn't cheering for them at all. And, you know, his whole thing of, like, you know, he has, like, his little routine when he's going to break up with them.
The, like, diamond earrings or whatever.
Yeah, that whole scene, like, fell super flat for me. But then again, I don't think it was the acting. I think it was the story.
Yeah. Oh, definitely the writing. Yeah, I didn't find him as a likable guy. I mean, even when, see, now I'm trying to remember that I think Zara, Joey King, she quits. She's like, I'm sick of your shit. Like, you're never going to make me a producer. I'm done being your runaround gal. Like, I'm over it. So she quits. And then Zac Efron can't take care of himself, so he goes to her house to be like, I want you to come back. And he just lets himself into her house, and Nicole Kidman's there, like, cleaning. And he's just walking around in their house, and Nicole Kidman sees him and is like, ah, and gets scared. And she even says to him, like, you just let yourself into people's houses? And he's like, yeah, I'm a celebrity. I do what I want. Like, that's not likable, you know? He didn't even say, like, oh, I'm sorry, you know? Like, there wasn't anything.
There was no humbleness on this character. Right,
or even to put him down a peg, you know? Like, to make him seem like he's so famous and unattainable. But then they try to make him seem, like, when they, this I did not like either, when he asks her to dinner, and she basically says, I don't think that's a good idea. No. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'll see you at 7. To me, that gives, like rapey that vibes is, when a man doesn't know the word no. That's the most unattractive thing, in my opinion. And she goes to the dinner anyway. And they're, like, having a heart-to-heart, and he's talking about, like, his upbringing, and he wasn't really close to his parents or whatever, and that's supposed to make us feel bad for him and justify the fact that he's a dick? I'm sorry. No. I just, I wasn't feeling it.
The part of, like, him, like, if they ever wanted us to feel bad for him or to feel like we can relate to him, there was never that moment. Ever.
It felt flat. Which, again,
I gotta say, I go to the director for this. I also go to the writing for this. I'm like, if you're a director and you're looking at the story and you're seeing it while it's, like, being portrayed, and you're like, this is not working, we have to make changes in the script, you have to do it. Because, again, like, I felt uncomfortable with their age gap, number one. And second, maybe I wouldn't have felt uncomfortable if I liked him for her. But I didn't.
Yeah. I 1,000% agree.
Mm-hmm. And the whole thing with the family, like when they, like the Christmas dinner.
When he just showed up, I was like, go home. I didn't want him there. Like, you're intruding.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. Like, I wasn't like, oh, he's there. How cute. No, it was like, you're intruding on their Christmas just because you're lame and you have no friends and no family. And, like, you just sort of are started dating this woman and now you're coming to Christmas? No. No, I didn't like that. And then, of course, and now then, Joey, like, King's, like, okay with it. She's like,
okay. Yeah, I was like, Zara was okay with it. I was like, that's so fast.
Yeah. Too fast. That's the thing, too. Like, you can't fall in love with someone else. Like, you haven't dated anyone in over a decade, and you're going to fall for your daughter's boss. Like,
and listen, really? He's attractive. We get it. But also, like, he's so young.
That's what I'm saying. There's no one else.
Yeah. In that sense, I was like, I'm not. But again, maybe my expectations were really low because I was like, oh, it's not that bad. I was ready for it to be that I wanted to be like, turn it off. You know, I stayed on. I was like, okay, what's going to happen? Okay, so let's talk about the scene where they get drunk the first time they meet.
They're like taking shots of tequila together.
Tequila in the wasn't that in the morning?
It was early in the day. I will say that. Too early to be just drinking straight up tequila.
Shots.
Yeah.
I wanted to throw up. That's number one, because I cannot do tequila. And nobody knows Tracy the way I do, but Tracy is allergic to tequila.
Yeah, I'll die if I have tequila.
She will. Yeah, she has some kind of intolerance. It's really bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, that I was like, this is, you know, this is so... And the fact that their mom, Brooke, was able to like overlook so much of him that his daughter, that her daughter had told her already, you know. I was like, you're so fast to forget.
Yeah.
You know?
Because she's been working for him for like a solid 2 years and she's done nothing but complain about he doesn't take her seriously. He won't give her a chance to get a producer credit. Mm-hmm. Like, she just runs around delivering diamond earrings to women that he's breaking up with.
Yeah. Oh, and talking about that, her daughter. There was something that I wanted to see if you felt that too. So, there's this moment where she feels like pressured by her mom. Like, and she's like, well, I don't know what to do, or like something like that. It was like a character development thing with Sarah's character and her relationship with her mom. And I was like, why does this feel like it's coming out of nowhere?
I don't even remember this.
Well, it was like, well, you told me to, like, you know, like you have to stay in the job if you want to like grow in it. And then like, I never like made you like. Stay, like, I would never want that for you. If you're not happy, don't work with him.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, where's that coming? Like, nobody took me there. Mm. You know, and again, that's the writing, because I never saw the mom being like, hey, you have to suck it up to get what you want. Like, I never saw that.
Right. Their relationship was a little. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It felt so fucking weird. Mm-hmm. I was like, why is she upset at her mom? Because she wants to quit her job and she can't.
Unless it's like she was putting that pressure on herself.
One thing is being like, I don't want to disappoint my mom. Mm. But she never made it seem like that. She made it seem like my mom said, like, I have to, like, stay in this job that I never, like, do anything. And then, like, she's like, I can't fill your shoes. Nobody told you to do that either. You're right. A producer. She's a writer.
Yeah. So I guess it's just, like, the pressure that she was putting on herself. Because she's living in her mom's shadow. Because she's this amazing writer. So she feels like she has to be successful, too. And it's like, okay, but also you're 24. You have time. Like, your mom wasn't that young when she made a name for herself. Like, it took a while.
And you know how big of a deal it is to have that job at that age?
Huge. Yeah. No, I know.
Ask people that work in that were in that industry and how hard it is. We don't understand why she was complaining the whole time. And yeah, he's an asshole, but, you know.
I mean, I can, like, see it a little bit. He didn't take her seriously, where it Never. Was like she would give him suggestions of, hey, I found this really great writer, or I have this thing. And he'd be like, oh, okay, I found my own guy. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he didn't take her seriously. He was like, oh, go get my shake.
So but that's, basic, assistant stuff. It's usually like that. He said that she was gonna move up. It's never like that. But that's when you have to network, you know? Yeah. That's when you have to, okay, what can I do my way right now? And it's meet people. So you don't stay in that job. But then, maybe I'm too bitter to be I feel bad for her. But there was... Yeah, he was an asshole, but I also never felt bad for her.
I didn't either. And, I mean, she was, dealing with some... And she's still young, so it's like, oh, my life is terrible. And then when her friend was like, all you do is think about yourself. Like, I just broke up with my boyfriend, and you didn't even ask me, how are you? So she is very self-centered.
Yeah.
I just feel like it was a cast of not very likable people. Except I did like Nicole Kidman. But other than that, I wasn't invested in anybody.
Yeah, there was no journey to the characters. Like, that moment, we saw three scenes, that was it, with her best friend. Three scenes, and we were supposed to know everything right away. I don't know, it felt like they rushed us through it. And it's not like I wanted more. It's like I wanted a deeper dive.
Yeah.
You know, tell me why she's being a little bitch right now. You know, tell me, why is Zac Efron the way that he was? Why is Chris the way that he was? You know? Right. I don't know.
I don't feel any story we did get with him, it wasn't enough to justify.
Yeah.
His behavior. He was just too cocky for someone who's never even been in, a good movie. I'm in these shit movies, but I'm a celebrity. And I'm like, I don't see how that works. And also to just have that attitude of treating everyone like crap.
And also, don't give the fucking earrings. And you just made this poor girl fly through, basically, with a car to get these fucking earrings. And then you're giving her shit? Mm. No. Right. Yeah, we didn't fall in love with the characters ever. And you know what? I love Nicole Kidman, but I didn't fall in love with her character either.
But again, I think that's the writing. They just didn't dive deep enough with these people, so to make the audience want to fall in love with them and their relationships. Mm-hmm. That it was by the end, you're like, I want them to be together, and I'm so happy that mother and daughter are, on the same page, and everyone is happy. I never, ever felt that. I didn't want any of that. So to me, it wasn't a successful rom-com, and I didn't really think any of it was funny.
I don't remember laughing.
Nope.
But is it like a rom-com? Is it classified as a rom-com?
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. That's why it's also disappointing. Because I'm like, it didn't even live up to its category.
Mm-hmm. And it had,
it had potential. But it just fell flat.
Excuse me. It's just the character. Sorry, I really needed to. I think I'm thirsty. Yeah. It like the actors are so good in this.
They
like,
are. So it's not the actors. It was definitely the writing.
Do they think they have like a contract with Netflix? I know Nicole has because she has like something else coming up with Netflix.
I don't know. Well, I also know that this is her first rom-com and she's always wanted to do one. So I think that's why she was like, okay, yes. I'll do it.
This is her first rom-com ever?
Yeah. Like, she's only ever really done dramas. So I think for her, this was, like, an opportunity to sort of, like, branch out and have a little bit of fun. Because, I mean, like, she's in so many serious things. Like, that's got to be like, oh, okay, I get it. After a while, you know, you just want to have fun.
How much money did they get paid for this?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'd have to look it up.
Because it probably took a month to shoot. Maybe a little bit over a month.
I can tell you. I have it in fun facts.
Okay. And yeah, it's like a fun little project. But then, you know, I guess for Nicole Kidman and for Kathy Bates, it doesn't matter because they already have their names, you know.
Right.
Although Zac Efron really fucking surprised me in that movie, The Claw.
Iron Claw.
Iron Claw with
the bear.
What's his name? With the bear. With Jeremy. Mm-hmm. And Joey King, too. Like, these are amazing actors, you know. But yeah. I'm surprised that them two, Zac Efron and Joaquin, they're still building, you know, a resume. So, like, yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. You know? Or, I'm just, like, trying to figure out why they said yes. If there's a rom-com and I'm Zac Efron and they tell me Nicole Kidman is in it, I'll be like, yeah.
I think that was the big thing because I did read something where it was, like, Joey King was just in awe. Of being like, I am in a movie with this person. Like, she's just so talented.
Yep.
So, I mean, I would fucking say yes, too. If I'm in a movie with Nicole Kidman. Yeah.
Hell, yeah. 100%. 100%. So it's probably that. Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because the characters, like, aren't that deep. And I'm not saying it has to be heavy, because again, it's supposed to be a rom-com, but I think you can still humanize it, you can give us all the feels, you can, you know, make some moments heavier, which can bring out the comedy.
For our listeners, if you don't know, Tracy is a writer, although she does not claim herself. Like, she, I read some of her stuff. It's really good. Now, in your writer perspective, like, let's hear, like, how, like, what changes can come up to your head right now that you'd be like, oh, I would have, like, taken this off. I would have dived deep into this moment, or I would have, like, given more background of this character. How would you change that?
I mean, I think it's all about building the relationships with all of them. So, like, mother-daughter relationship, the relationship between Zara and Chris, and then that relationship between Brooke and Chris. Because, like I said, at the end, I didn't want them to end up together. So you definitely have to change a lot of his character to make it seem like why he acts like such an asshole is all a front. Maybe he is very insecure, you know? And there were things that happened to him that when he was younger, and he had to build up those walls to protect himself. So you can kind of be like, okay, well, I can kind of see why he's such a jerk.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then also, once you find that out, he has to start breaking those walls down and changing, because that's another thing too. You want to see people have a journey through a movie. You want to see them change and develop, because as people, there are things that happen to us in our life where we are always changing because of circumstances and events.
And that way we fall in love with the characters.
Exactly.
Because and these we are, cheer them on.
Right. These are big life events that are happening where it's like Brooke is falling in love with someone after 10 years, you know, after her husband died. So, like, why is this such a big change for her that she's falling in love with Chris?
Yeah.
I mean, Zara, too, like, she lost her father. So now her dynamic with Chris is going to change. You know, so just, like, a journey. I needed a journey with the characters.
I feel like it felt really, really rushed.
Yeah.
And you don't feel it in the moment. It's like when it's over, you're like, oh, but I didn't, you know, I didn't get to know anybody really well.
Surface level.
Surface level. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're right. I think in that sense, they definitely fell flat. And the thing is, the story had potential. Like, it's a good story, you know? Like, it's like, you know, my mom fell in love with my boss, you know, that it's a good storyline, but how you show it is a whole different thing. Because then you think of like the romantic comedy with Anne Hathaway and
The Idea and of You.
The Idea of You. At the end, I wanted them to end up together. You know, because right. I fell in love with both of them. You know, they let me care for them through the whole movie. You know, and I saw him, you know, being a pop star. I also saw him being human. I also saw him being like super humble and really working to be with her. Because I think he comes back. You know, he waited 5 years. You know,
exactly. And it doesn't have to be, like, big things. It was little moments, you know? Like, he told her, you know, like, I came from a working-class family. I didn't have a lot of money. You know, him, like, playing the piano and the guitar. Like, how hard of a worker he is. You know, it's like, it doesn't have to be anything big either. Like, they can be small moments. But also just seeing that vulnerability in that person, too. And I never felt in any moment that Chris was ever vulnerable.
I don't think the script gave him the opportunity at all.
Exactly. And it could have.
It could have, and especially in that moment where they're doing shots of tequila.
That, or when they're having their dinner and having their little time on set on their first date.
Yes.
Like, that whole thing, you had prime time, baby, to break it down so we could start seeing that journey. But it was like after their first date, I didn't see a change in him.
Oh, no. And it was rushed, too.
Yeah.
Like, it was like first 2 dates and then boom. Actually, he's coming to dinner for Christmas. And I was like, yeah, that was so fast.
Yeah.
Wow. I do think, you know, everyone went to work and they did what they could with what they had.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm trying to think if I saw any actor that I was like, eh. I think everyone was great. And again, like, the moments that I would be like, eh, it was more because I was like, where did this come from? You know, like, what happened before? Did I skip it? Did I not know this about the character? Did I go to the bathroom while they did something? You know, that's how it felt most of the time.
Oh, and you know what? In the very beginning of the movie, when Zac Efron, like, can't sleep or something, and he calls Zara. So it's really late at night. And he's like, hey, can you do me a favor? And then she goes to the grocery store for him because he hasn't been to a grocery store in 10 years because he's so famous. And he's like, can you tell me the products that are on the shelf? The way that they were talking to each other, I actually saw more of a romantic buildup between them. Like, that scene, I was like, oh, wait. I thought this was supposed to.
It was
to,
your, uh-huh.
Right.
When now that you're telling me this, I do remember feeling exactly the same way. Be like, yeah. Oh, he's going to fall in love with her first?
Yeah. Like, the conversation that they were having. Like, that's something that you would happen with someone that you're, like, just getting to know or getting
romantic. And you feel, like it feels you natural. You feel bad for him.
Right.
That's the one moment. Mm-hmm. That you're like, ay, pobrecito, poor rich guy.
he can't go to the grocery store. Right. She says something about, like, oh, they have whatever type of cereal. And he was like, no way. Like, it's so... It was cute. It was a genuine. Cute moment. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. And I was like, oh, are they going to, like, have something happen? So, again, that's a writing thing, too. Because we shouldn't have felt that.
Yeah, 100%. That would have been better with her, with Nicole. You know, that moment of vulnerability or, like, her showing him the real life.
Oh, yeah, God. They shouldn't change that. That's true. Yeah, so.
Well, I guess we give it a thumbs down.
Oh, all the thumbs down. Even my toes.
Even the toes.
Sorry.
That, no, I get it. Let me look up the Rotten Tomatoes. I think it doesn't have good score either.
I think IMDb was like a 5.3. So it's an F.
Surprise.
But.
We give them a F from fail.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
What
Rotten
is it?
Tomatoes gave it a 36. The audience gave it 30.
Ooh. Ouch. Because sometimes the audience score will be higher. But, well, you know what? This time I got to say I agree.
Agree, yeah. And yeah. Again, like I know I said I was pleasantly surprised, but I feel like I'm only pleasantly surprised because the actors were good, you know, but the script was shit, you know, and it had potential, which, like, that's what bothers me so much,
yeah.
You know, that could have, you know, I wonder who wrote this, do you know?
I'll tell you. Don't worry.
Okay.
I got you.
Fun facts.
I got you, girl. Facts. Okay. Yeah. I'll just give them to you real quick.
Okay.
So you remember the end? Do you say, okay, you could remember the ending of the movie. It's where Nicole Kidman is in that gorgeous grocery store. Yeah. And Zara's like, oh, come with me. And she takes Zac Efron and she's like, we're going to go in a grocery store. And, like, she sets it up because she knows her mom is there because grandma needed some sort of, like, random fruit. And that was the only grocery store that had it.
Blah, blah, blah.
Right. So that's how it ends. And then they meet at the produce aisle and they're like, and we're in love. And mm-hmm. Okay. So... originally, it did not end that way. It was supposed to be Chris and Brooke reconnecting on a Hollywood backlot soundstage where they had their first date and dressed up in feather fans and top hats.
Wait, who wrote this?
I'll tell you, don't worry. But the director, Richard Lagravanis, decided the ending wasn't satisfying and it didn't incorporate Zara enough. So they actually reshot the end in Malibu.
So the director switched it, not the writer.
Correct. Yeah. So
I see a trend here. I see a pattern.
The ending. Yeah. So they went to Malibu, shot it, and this was so here, I'll tell you real quick. It was shot.
Is that the famous grocery store that is super expensive?
I mean, it's gorgeous, the outside. Yeah, I was like, that's a grocery store?
Yeah, ooh. That's probably the one. There's one grocery store, I think it's in California, that apparently the prices are just fucking insane. Like, people, that's like TikTokers go just to show
right.
prices.
Mm-hmm. Right. That must be it. So, it was actually filmed in Atlanta. from August to October of 2022. So you were right. It was only a few months of filming. It wasn't that long.
I actually find that really long. I was like 4 weeks they took to film this.
It was like 2 months. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, also they're busy. They probably had other projects that they were working on too. Who knows? But then they refilmed that ending after the SAG-AFTRA strikes in 2023 in Malibu. Just that one ending.
Oh, so they had filmed it already, the other ending.
So they filmed the movie in 2022. Then they changed the ending, okay. But they couldn't film it until after the strike, the writer's strike, in 2023. In the movie, Brooke tells Chris she's Australian, and he brags about knowing Margot Robbie. But in real life, Zac Efron and Margot Robbie have never worked together. However, Nicole Kidman and Zac Efron have worked together previously.
Yes.
They were in The Paperboy together in 2012, and Kidman was in Bombshell in 2019 with Margot Robbie. So she's worked with both. In the doctor's office after Zara runs into the door.
Right.
And, like, gets concussed. So they go to the doctor's office, and Zara asks her mom, what is he, like, 20 years younger than you? And Brooke responds, 16. Well, Zac Efron is actually 20 years younger than Nicole Kidman. I don't know why they couldn't just...
Keep it
and say that it's true to life. It's 20. What's 4 years difference? Like, she's obviously older than him anyway. In real life, Joey King is married to producer and director Stephen Pyatt, who is 16 years older than her. He's 40. She's 24. They met on the set of The Act.
Did he direct The Act?
Or produced it. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But that's how they met. And then they started dating. And they got married last year in Mallorca, Spain.
Yeah, I did see those pictures.
But yeah, he's 40.
And I just kept thinking, she's so young. Same with Millie Bobby.
I know. But at least she married someone who's her age.
True. But I'm like, girly pop, you are a baby.
I know.
She's like 22. 21.
Yeah. Babies.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll find this interesting. The movie's original title was actually Motherfucker. I wonder why they changed it. and that is actually what got Zac Efron interested. He saw that title, and he was like, what's this about?
That would, like, if they would have taken that, dark comedy route, it would have been hilarious.
Mm. Yeah.
You know? Like, I'm talking dark, The Office style. You know? The Office second season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, really dark.
Yeah. Motherfucker. So, changed it. So the writer was Carrie Solomon, and this was her debut as a screenwriter. So this is her first piece ever.
It's okay,
so,
she'll get better.
Right.
Keep
working.
So maybe
we'll give her a little bit of slack.
Hell yeah. And also, like, you only get better. You know,
Hopefully, you learn from
your mistakes. You know, I'm sure, I can't imagine what it is reading those reviews or listening to us. But, you know, just it's a learning curve. You take it as you go. You're like, okay, this didn't work. What can I do better? The fact that she was able to get this to the screen.
1,000%. And it's a good cast, and it was bought by Netflix, so it's on a good streaming platform. Like, most people never attain that in their life. So, good for you, sweetie. But, yes, do better. And then Richard LeGravenese, the director, he hasn't directed anything since 2014 when he did The Last 5 Years. So I guess he was like a little hiatus. Yeah, I know he did P.S. I Love You. So he actually has some good credits under his belt.
Yeah.
And I guess I don't know if he like took a break or whatever, but yeah, he hasn't done anything in 10 years and I guess he decided to do this.
Wow. Wow. Hey. Listen, directors and writers, it's a learning curve. You only get better, you know. The concept was good.
It had potential.
It had a lot of, like, I feel like it's so hard because I don't know how that world works. Like, if you have a friend that is a writer and then you're also a writer and your friend gives you their script and like, do you tell them like, hey, I would like switch this and switch that? Or like if you're brand new, you're like, hey, can you help me out? You know, or like some advice.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I guess in her eyes, she probably thought it was going to be better. She probably bitch because I don't think, you know, I don't think you write it thinking, oh, this sucks, you know.
No,
you're writing.
I mean, obviously, and... yeah, for her, she saw a complete story and that there were good relationships.
We just needed more of the characters. We needed more of a backstory of each one of them. We needed more character development in the relationships too. So, yeah, I give it a thumbs down, but I'm sure people out there like it.
Oh, I'm sure people love this movie, and they did think it
was funny. That 30% really loved it.
Yeah, that's true. There are those people.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad for you, because I did.
Yeah, I wouldn't like recommend it. I would say like it's just a bad movie. It's like a movie you can put in the background if you want when you're doing stuff at home.
Cleaning.
You know. Yeah.
You just want background.
You're not even
noise.
Looking at this screen. But you know, they'll do better eventually. And again, I do think Nicole Kidman has like something. She has a contract with Netflix, definitely. Definitely. Do you know they're doing like 9 Perfect Strangers season 2?
Really?
Yeah. Is that Hulu? I think so.
It was on Hulu, yeah.
They're doing a season 2. And for you and Giovanni, who gave me so much shit about Euphoria, they start filming in January.
I saw that they are doing another season.
Hell yeah. The thing is like, people don't understand that all these actors now have so much schedule already.
Well, they're all very busy.
It's like, wait, when can they all be on set at the same time? Oh, actually, 2025. Okay, that's when we'll start filming. Because I think two things happened. The strike plus the death of
Angus.
Mm-hmm. And that both things delayed, and then like you can't mess up with the agenda of these actors, you know. They have projects back to back.
That's
I mean
true.
Sydney Sweeney hasn't stopped fucking working,
and Zendaya. Even Jacob Elordi, he's been super busy.
Like, these guys, they have not stopped. So it's like, oh, when can we get them all at the same time?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's true.
I can't imagine how hard that must be.
Yeah, I definitely think it was a scheduling thing. And then, actually, also, Hunter Schafer has been doing a lot, too. So
yes, so much she's been doing. Oh, my God.
So the scheduling between all of them. And then I do think that Angus Cloud's death sort of threw everyone off. So it's like you want to have enough time to mourn his death. But also, you have to rewrite. Because I'm sure that they had it planned out all the way. They're like, this is what's going to happen. And I bet he was an integral part. So now they have to rewrite it.
We kept, like, Like, his character, we just kept falling in love with him more and more. And we knew we were going to get more of him, too. Like, they kept giving us more. And that ending
of this second season with the brother and the shootout, like, holy shit. So now and it's now like, they how have are to they going to write how, that?
How are so, they going to make him not be there?
Right. Because they can't brush it under the rug. Like, they're going to have to write it some way to explain
and what happened. And these are good writers. Like, they're really fucking good. So I know they were like, we have to be really thorough with this. We can't just, like, write something stupid.
No. You know? Because also, like, you have to pay tribute to the actor and to his character. Because, like you said, I feel like the audience, like, we loved him, and I love the relationship that he had with Lily. Was that her name? So, like,
with the Apatow girly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So good. But
she's so talented.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see how they're going to do that.
Well, it's written, and they start filming in January.
Okay. I'm so excited. Hey, listen, I'm excited because it is a great show, and I want to know more. And also the thing with the brother, with Jacob Elordi, where they, like, show the photograph, and there's, like, another brother in the picture, and you're like, who the fuck is that? Mm-hmm. So.
The brother, right. I forgot about the brother.
So I hope they explain that this next season, too.
Oh, and Shrinking. Did you watch Shrinking on Apple TV? You will like it.
I didn't. I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah. It's such a... Like, I just want to rewatch it again. I've seen it twice.
Oh, okay.
And it's only one season. So next season comes out, I think, in September or October. I'm so happy. It's a comedy, but it's also, like, wholesome. It, like, gives me the Schitt's Creek vibe in the sense of, like, it's funny as fuck. Like, so funny. Mm-hmm. But there's also a wholesomeness to it.
Right.
Like, it's so funny. And the actors are good. You know when they film scenes that it's like, how did they get everyone saying their line? We heard all their lines. And it didn't feel like crowded. I think that's so hard to do when you're a director and be like, you need to be quicker with your lines, cut them off. But then you can hear all of them.
Right.
It's one of those.
Okay.
It's so it like you know like you the bear like how do they do that? I have no fucking idea. Like the amount of rehearsals before filming must be insane.
And takes, like, I wonder how many takes they must do, because
I do love, because I've seen it a few times in The Bear, that they do one take in a scene. Like, you see the camera moving, like, and you see, but they're all talking, and it's, like, one take, and I'm like, that's so beautifully done.
Wow. That's so impressive.
So impressive.
I mean, that just shows, like, the actors. They're just so good. Okay, so something else I need to add to my list.
Shrinking. You will love it. Like, love. And it's Apple TV. Apple TV has to sponsor us.
Yeah, because we keep just being like, they're so great. We love them. We're watching all their shows.
God, we do watch all their shows. Hey, and Shrinking was nominated.
They're killing it. Oh, was it?
Either some of the actors or the actual show. It was. I saw it. You would really like it, Tracy. It's like your type of comedy. It's fun and like it feels good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I didn't see any trailers this week that I... There was a trailer that came out. Oh, White Lotus.
Oh, it's coming next year.
Yes, but like a teaser. It wasn't a trailer. It was a teaser. Right. Yes.
It was like what happens in Thailand stays in Thailand or like something like that.
Mm-hmm. But
that's exciting.
So exciting.
Some White Lotus.
Yep. Well, that's it for today, guys. Thank you for listening and judging with us.
Yeah. Thanks.
We cannot wait to judge with you guys next week. Oh, next week we do have a guest. We're really excited. And we can actually tell you what we are judging next week. And it's going to be the documentary on Netflix called Dirty Pop about the boy bands in the 90s and late 90s and early 2000s. So if you want to watch it this week and then listen to next week's episode. And yeah, you can judge with us. Comment, like, and subscribe. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, that's it. We love you.
Until next time. Bye.